Walking Dead Season 6 Episode 2 JSS is over, but we are getting into your feedback here today on our Walking Dead Feedback Show on post-show recaps. And now here are the two guys who are still just locked in their closet panic room, so scared after everything that happened this week. I'm Rob Sister News, Josh Wegler. Josh, how are you?
Oh, so craven.
Don't come out.
So afraid here in Alexandria.
It's not safe in Alexandria. Stay in there.
So scared. I'm Sam. Isn't Sam the name of the kid who is in the closet?
Was that kid?
Yeah,
I know there's Ron. I don't know the other kid.
Yeah, I think his name is Sam.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Making that up. That might just be in a deep-rooted place in my mind. Entirely possible at this point.
Still getting over what happened in Alexandria on Sunday night.
Very intense episode of the series. Very, very, very intense.
Yeah, because it just did not seem like it was going to happen that way. You know, I feel like we get like a lot more of warning of like, okay, bad things are coming. And this was just sort of like a sneak attack.
Well, I mean, we knew that something awful was going to happen because of the horn. But I think that we thought that there was going to be some horn thing and then the horde of walkers was going to hit Alexandria and that was going to be the awful thing. But I didn't think that we knew just like the magnitude of the awfulness of the horn. That we didn't know that it was going to be because the wolves were just decimating everyone in Alexandria. So yeah, it was a shock. It was a big shock the night of, and it's still, you know, a really fun episode to chew on a few days later.
Yeah, like a turtle that we're still trying to pick out of our teeth.
Are you into turtle sushi? I know we talked about that on the podcast. Would you give that a shot?
I didn't even know it was a thing. Is it a thing?
I think that you could probably do it. I'm sure you could go somewhere in the universe and you could find some turtle sushi.
I feel like the whole thing with Enid with the turtle where it's like, oh, great, a turtle. And then I kind of feel like that she should have been like, no, let me just find some place to cook it. I mean, she went instantly into, I guess she's really hungry.
Well, I mean, if you start the fire and you send the smoke signals, you could be leading people your way. So maybe in those situations, you got to go raw. You got to raw. It's not raw dogging it. You got to raw turtle it.
I'll leave it to Enid because she seems like she's the expert more so than I would be in this. But I feel like I would like try to like at least like sear it a little bit.
A little bit. Rob, did you see I got you a turtle for your birthday?
I did. Thank you.
Did you appreciate that?
Yes,
did you like it?
Appreciate it. I said,
are you going to turn it into sushi?
JSS. Yeah. JSS. That's right. Just sushi somehow. That's my
motto. That's right. Yeah. No, that's good. I like that. Early front runner for the hashtag.
So we're going to go ahead and take your voicemails and your questions that you guys have. So we had a lot of feedback on the show this week on the post from Sunday night on postshowrecaps.com. So we do appreciate how interactive you guys are with us about The Walking Dead. And we're going to answer your voicemails here that came in at postshowrecaps.com/voicemail. All right. So Josh, where do you want to start today?
Well, let's start with kind of a general question. It's a very, very simple question from Dave Backer in terms of the phrasing, but maybe more complicated the further you dig into it, or maybe not. Maybe we'll come to an answer very quickly. But the question was, best non-Rick episode? Question. That's it. That was the question from Dave, asking if JSS is the best episode of The Walking Dead without Rick Grimes in the episode. What is your immediate thought on that? What do you think? Is JSS that good to be spoken of at that level?
It was very, very good. I would have to say no. I do not believe that that was the case.
So give me some suggestions. Which are some of the contenders? If it's not JSS, which are some of the best non-Rick episodes?
Well, I think we'd probably have to go back to season 4, I would imagine. And I would have to say, and I'm pretty sure that this is a non-Rick episode, but...
Well, like half of season 4 had no Rick Grimes, if you remember. He was in that first episode in the second half of season 4, and then he was on the bench for like 10 episodes after that.
I'd probably have to say, I think that The Grove, where Carol ends up with the girls and the whole
Tyrese
thing with the flowers. Yeah, I think that's probably a more moving episode. I think that I would probably have to say it depends what you're into. If you want the human drama, I think that that probably has this beat. If you want just like most jam-packed action, I don't think there's too many action-packed episodes that don't have Rick.
Yeah. I agree. Interestingly, The Grove, also a very heavy Carol episode. So mm-hmm. when Rick's not around, you go to those Carol episodes. That's where you want to be.
Yeah.
But I agree. I think The Grove is the better episode. I think The Grove is an all-timer. I think that you could very easily make the argument that The Grove is a top 5 episode of The Walking Dead. I think JSS could be a top 10 episode, potentially. It's one of the best action episodes of the show, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think probably is the second best non-Rick episode. if you're looking at some of those episodes in season four, what are we going to give the nod to Daryl Dixon and Beth giving the finger to the burning cabin? You going to do that?
No,
probably not. Do you want to, what about some of these Beth Hospital episodes?
No.
How about the governor when the governor is off on his own? I really do love those two episodes. Are those two episodes better than JSS?
If I recall from at least the first takes on those, that I think we both really like the first one. And then I think that the second episode of just the governor, I think, started to drag.
I love those episodes. I think that JSS is better than those. So I think it's probably just under the Grove in terms of non-Rick episodes. I think it goes the Grove, then JSS, and then maybe those governor episodes for me.
I believe Kevin Smith on The Talking Dead said this was the fourth best episode of The Walking Dead.
Yeah, and he said then it's like a top 20 best episode of any show ever. So Kevin Smith.
Bringing the hyperbole to The Talking Dead.
He also described the episode in a very racy way. Yes, how much of Talking Dead did you watch? Do you remember what he said?
Boy, Kevin Smith, and what is he even talking about?
Yeah, we won't repeat it here, but there's a very NSFW thing that he says to describe this episode of JSS of The Walking Dead that takes Chris Hardwick aback. Really takes him and Paul Bettany, who's a guest on the show, really taken for a ride there. And this is live stuff, so you can't walk it back. This is why you don't have Kevin Smith live on the air. Did I ever tell you that my first full day at MTV, working full-time at MTV, Kevin Smith was in the studio. I was sitting at a desk like 5 feet away from him. It was a live stream interview with him and my boss, Josh Horowitz. And the entire time, he was just dropping F-bombs. Literally the entire time on this live stream that we couldn't do anything about.
No, we have not heard that story.
Best first day ever. It was great.
Yeah.
It was awesome. First time all over again. All right. So I think that we've answered that question. I think that we know best non-Rick episode, The Grove. And then I would say JSS is probably right after that. That would be my vote.
Number two.
All right. So let's go to number two in terms of these questions. And I think that this is a good place to start because, Rob, I do think that you and I took a swing and a miss at a big thing that happened in this episode the other night. Something that a lot of people picked up on, something I did not pick up on the first watch, but is absolutely very much there. So thanks to all of you people who are so much smarter than me and more observant than I am for picking up on this. And let's leave it to the tabulator, Kurt Clark, to tell us what we missed.
Hey, Rob and Josh. This is Kurt from Chicago. Quick question. When Carl and Enid are sitting in the house protecting it, you know, she was just about to tell him that she was going to leave. She says this place is too big to protect. There are too many blind spots. And then she says, that's how we were able to. And then she trails off as Carl interrupts her, saying, you know, they're already the ones that are already in. We're going to take care of them. But she says, that's how we were able to, in reference to the blind spots and the place being too big to protect. I thought personally that was a smoking gun, that she was involved in this somehow. Do you guys not see it that way? Or do you think her when she says, that's how we were able to, that indicates something else? Love the show. Keep up the great work. Bye.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing about doing these shows, these podcasts live immediately after an episode, and you don't have the luxury of going back and turning back the clock and listening to what people said. I completely missed that line. I completely missed Enid saying, that's why we. That does seem pretty damning that she is in league with the wolves.
Yeah, I definitely do agree with that. And I did feel like that scene where she's sitting there with Carl, I felt like she was sort of being a little cagey. And I feel like I was talking about that on Sunday. And then Carl was like, hey, don't worry, babe. I got this. Like he was like trying to shut it down. Like he was trying to be the hero. I felt like.
Yeah, you were more locked in than I was on that. I think I was pretty dismissive. I was saying things like, oh, well, don't you think we would have seen it? Don't you think that we would have gotten a little bit more visual evidence that Enid is in league with the wolves? It was totally there. It's there. It's, you know, she says it in that kind of throwaway line that you have to be paying attention to. But people paid attention to it. It's there. It exists. I think that Enid is in with the wolves, and it's something that I missed on the first glance.
I don't know if I necessarily was able to quite pick up on it. I mean, I don't remember what I said exactly on Sunday. I don't think I picked up quite on the we, but I do feel like that it's a little bit conflicted with what we saw in her flashback, which
right. We
did not see her in league with the wolves in her origin story. It appears as though we see her parents die, JSS, she's eating the turtle, and then we see that she appears to be like outside the walls of Alexandria. I mean, and we don't see her go in, But does she hear the people in the walls and then run into the wolves and then have a whole experience with them and then say, hey, guess what? I saw this town. We should all sneak in there and live there.
Right. Yeah, I mean, something is missing. You know, obviously, whatever encounter exists between Enid and the wolves, we haven't seen that. If it exists, and I think it feels pretty clear that it exists. I don't know why we're not being treated to that. Maybe that's something that we're going to see in the future, assuming we see the wolves and Enid again. Maybe that's something that's going to manifest later on. But we have seen Enid go off on trips to the woods. We've seen her sneak over the walls. We were suspicious of her then. We didn't really know what was going on. How many times could she have just been sneaking off to some of these guys and giving them intel on Alexandria? Totally, totally possible. But it is bizarre that we didn't get any of that in the flashback when it was such an interesting flashback for her in that first 5 minutes of the show.
But it seems like there's more than meets the eye. Like, just to have her be a mole seems like that's too easy also. And I don't think that her behavior necessarily sort of reflected that she was a mole. She knew this attack was coming. She sort of like holed up with Carl in there. I don't know if she was like, you would think she'd be joining them if she was a mole. Like, quick, yeah. You know, Enid, get with us.
Right. Well, JSS just survived somehow. And if, you know, she is somehow, once she's on the other side of the Alexandria walls one of these days, who knows what she's off and she's doing. And if she encounters a wolf over there and it's not going well and she says, wait, I can help you out with this thing. And they're like, oh, that sounds good. So maybe it's not something that she's super eager about, but it's just a I'm selling out Alexandria so I can survive type of deal. Who knows? There's so many possibilities with it. I think this story is far from over. But you're right. She didn't seem to relish what was going on with the wolves.
All right. So then, in terms of her being one of the wolves, where does that leave her? Are we going to be seeing her also just like throwing them continually under the bus or tractor trailer?
Right. Yeah. You never know. I mean, she could be a triple agent. She could be another mole. She could mole back to Alexandria. Who knows? There's so much going on with her. And I think that that story is far from finished when it comes to Enid. And I think that we'll get some good payoff between her and Carl for sure. I wonder if Carl figures out what's going on. What's Carl going to do? That's what I really want to know.
Yeah, it's going to be very upsetting for Carl. He's not going to be able to, I think, take out his bae.
No, I don't know. Well, we've seen Carl take out some. He took out his mom. He could take out his bae.
Yeah, but he needed to. Like, she wanted him to.
Right, right. And you don't think his bae would want him to?
No, I don't think
probably
so.
Probably not. Probably
Unless
not.
She was, like, bit by a walker. And she's like, Carl, I'm not going to make it.
Yeah, this looks bad for Enid's survival odds, I feel like.
Yeah, she probably would be a good pick for the death pool.
Yeah, I think so. All right, let's stick with the wolves. Let's take a voicemail from Jackie Tomeyer. You and I, Rob, we talked about the possibility of a big bad wolf during our podcast on Sunday night. Jackie wants to explore that a little bit further.
Tyson?
That's right.
Hi, Rob and Josh. Jackie here from Canada. Just calling in. I loved the second episode so much. Lights out to Carol. She was the best performer tonight. She is just an incredible actress and I think my favorite character so far on this whole entire series. My questions are the wolves. So he said we didn't choose, but I don't think that there's a big bad wolf because they seem so disorganized. What do you guys think? They are just so disorganized. There's no rhyme or reason to their behavior and they are just machete chopping people left, right, and center. They didn't seem to have a great plan to come in. It was just come in and have mass panic. And also, they aren't armed very well. If they had a big bad wolf, don't you think that they would have some guns? That one wolf did steal that gun. How problematic is that going to be? Thanks so much. I love the shows. Talk to you again.
All right. Talk to you soon. All right. There's a lot to unpack there. First off, yes, Carol is the best. We'll talk about her more later. But what do you think? The fact that this was such like a reckless assault on Alexandria, does that speak to the fact that there is no big bad wolf?
No, there has to be a leader. I don't think that this is sort of like, what would you call this? Just sort of like this leaderless
Ronin.
Yeah, I don't really even know what you would call that. I can't imagine that that's the case. I think there has to be somebody who's sort of like mounting this. It's somebody has to have the idea. Hey, let's all put a W on our head.
Right. Someone came up with that first.
Does that guy's name start with W? Is it like a Wally?
Warren.
Warren.
Warren Dead.
Warren Dead. I think so. Yeah, Warren, what about, Warren, is that Joaquin? No, that Joaquin is with a J,
right?
No,
that's
right?
A J. That's a J. That's
yeah.
A J. Yeah. Yeah, Warren Wolf. I like that. I think he's good. Warren Dead. Yeah, somebody had to start this thing. Somebody had to kick off this craze. I also think, you know, to Kurt's point, Kurt pointing out the whole Enid thing, that really speaks to the fact that this was more organized than maybe we were giving it credit for on Sunday night. We know that they had the intel from Aaron. They had Aaron's documents on Alexandria, so they had that to go off of. But they also had at least Enid helping them out, if not being fully on board with the wolves. You know, she does say we. That seems really, really bad in terms of Enid being on Alexandria's side. It seems like she was with the wolves. So I think that we're getting signs that they are much more organized than maybe we gave them credit for immediately. However, they were very savage in Alexandria. So maybe if there is a guy in charge, he wants to give them, like, I don't know, like wolf etiquette classes or something, just like better manners in terms of how you're going to sack a city.
I think there definitely is somebody in charge. We heard those guys say, we didn't have a choice, which I think speaks to that there is some sort of leadership. It's not like a thing that you can just come and go as you please. Somebody has to come up with the idea. Is it possible? Is it Wolf Blitzer?
Wolf Blitzer, that'd be good.
Because the attack was kind of a blitz also.
Right, it was sort of a Wolf Blitzer.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great if we found out that Wolf Blitzer is sort of like the head of like the...
And where is he headquartered at? Is he in D.C.?
Well, I believe CNN's headquarters are in Atlanta, right?
Well, you know, that's close.
Yeah.
It's close. This could be what happened with Wolf Blitzer. The big bad Wolf Blitzer. I believe it. I really do. That's great. The Alpha Wolf Blitzer.
Yeah, I believe they also have studios in Washington, D.C. I'm not sure where Wolf Blitzer works out of.
Right. Yeah, but depending on where he was, like even if he's not in D.C. regularly, if he was there for like, I don't know, election coverage or just, you know, a business meeting.
And I think he would have some clout with people, like they would follow him, like they would know.
Yeah,
like
the apocalypse, it's like, holy shit, that's Wolf Blitzer. We got to follow that guy.
Yeah, he like, you know, was broadcasting about Iraq. He knows about like tactical things.
Yeah. No, I would follow Wolf Blitzer. If, you know, if the end of the world happened and he came to me and he's like, I'm assembling a team, I'm going to call them the Wolves, you know, because it's my name. Would you like to be one? I would totally be a Wiggler Wolf Blitzer. I'm all in on that. That's a great concept.
Yeah, this is
that's the twist.
This is a great fan theory.
Oh my God, this is really good. All right, well, I'll get to work writing that for MTV for a Monday morning post game. I'm just going to start pre-writing that right now. That's good.
Great. Great.
I like that. All right. Here is another question about the wolves. This is a voicemail from Jack, and he wants to know how much longer we're going to have with the Wolf Blitzers.
Hey, guys. Love the show. My question is, do you think we've seen the last of the wolves? We saw Morgan chase some of them out of the gates in this last episode. But with the oncoming horde, I don't see them being the main focus for the foreseeable future. So, yeah, what do you think? Thanks, guys. See ya.
All right. I got to admit, I'm still laughing at Wolf Blitzer.
The Situation Room.
This is one of those moments where like I'm biting my hand trying not to crack up on the air, so I'm trying to pull it together. Last time this happened was like a Game of Thrones voicemail. I think that was when Dokes showed up. Man, do you think Dokes would be part of the Wolf Blitzers?
Yes, well, it was a real surprised MFers moment when they showed up.
All right, so let's tackle Jack's question. Jack, he wasn't the only one who was asking that. There was also on PostShowRecaps.com, Fernando Castro wrote in, so many questions left about the wolves, but did the show pull a Terminus and effectively end the wolves' threat in one big episode? There was also a small handful that Morgan let go. Maybe he needs a visit from Cabin Douche Ghost. So what do you think? Is there any possibility that this was a Terminus type of situation where Terminus seemed like it was going to be this huge, huge threat going into season 5 and the off season between 4 and 5? And it really gets wrapped up 3 episodes into 5. Are we done with the wolves or is there more to go?
No way. Wolves are here to stay. That this was just sort of like the initial meeting with them. And this is going to be a big shadow that is cast over season six.
So do you think that these wolves that we saw, the ones that got away, are they getting all the way back to the big bad wolf Blitzer, or are they going to get mutilated when they encounter the horde of walkers coming towards Alexandria?
Oh, I don't think that they're just going to get killed off. I think they have to get back to, you know, central command, back to the situation room and explain what's going on and sort of say like, they fought back, they've got guns.
Right.
And I think we're going to see a bigger sort of conflict once we resolve the situation with the walker
situation.
By the way, Wolf Blitzer, according to Twitter, his location is Washington, D.C.
Wow. Yeah. So this theory is really coming together.
He's the right man in the right place.
Oh, my God. This is good. I can't wait for this. We're really locked in right now. And I swear this is not a comic book spoiler. This would be a major deviation. This would be a really big change from the source material.
Yeah, so I think we have much more to see with the wolves.
Do you think that the wolves are going to pass by Rick and everybody who are on their way back to Alexandria? Is there just going to be like this awkward meeting in the forest as Rick is trying to get back to Alexandria on time in this upcoming episode?
No, I think that Rick has to get back to Alexandria and sort of see what happened.
Uh-huh.
I think that that's really what's going to go ahead. And honestly, I think that what the wolves did was make Rick's life a lot easier in a lot of ways, because that Rick, it seemed like that was getting some resistance from a lot of these red shirts, the Ethan Embrys of the world, sort of like, hey, you don't know what it's like here. We have a different kind of lifestyle. Right. We don't want you running our town. Well, now all those people are dead. And also, like, between the zombie horde and then also the wolves, I think all of a sudden the real world has come to Alexandria, and I think that everybody's going to be like, Rick, save us. Protect us, Rick.
Yep, yep, pretty much. All right, let's take another voicemail. This is from Liz Irwin from California. She wanted to plant a flag with what the wolves are up to.
Liz Irwin from San Jose, California here. I would like to plant my flag on the guess for what they're doing with the zombies by cutting off their arms and legs. I believe they're making zombie bombs. I think they are using, they can cut off the arms and legs. They're not going to move around. They can throw them at people. Maybe they juggle them. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, they're easy to control. Zombies without their arms and legs are pretty easy to keep in one place and, you know, store them for later, you know, horrific uses, whatever they want to do. So that's my guess. I'm planting my flag on zombie bombs, which would also be a really good shot. I'm not sure exactly what it would be comprised of, but I think a zombie bomb shot sounds pretty great. Anyway, that's it.
I don't recommend the zombie bomb shot.
Yo, what's in a zombie bomb?
No, I mean, I've had a zombie bowl. Or a scorpion bowl at the Zombie Hut, which is a bar in my neighborhood, and it did not end well. So I don't like associating zombies with drinks. I think it's a bad call.
Yeah, zombie bomb is some sort of, it's like, it's a shot that you're dropping into a beer. That's what it has to be, right?
I think so.
So hopefully maybe somebody in the comments can come up with what that is, or we can ask Malcolm or something like that.
Liz Irwin kind of sounds like Shireen. Did you hear that at all? I kind of thought that this was like Shireen's cousin, Liz Irwin.
Is Liz Irwin like an anagram for something? Maybe we should look into that.
All right, we'll unscramble that. What do you think? Zombie bombs? Yay or nay? Zombie bombs?
No, I don't think that there is anything that premeditated about what they're doing. It seems like that they're just like all really just, it seems like there's some sort of like savagery, like ritualistic. I don't think that anything is that calculated about what they're doing. It's not like they're like, okay, cut the arms off and then we're going to use these people for either bombs or juggling.
Right. Well, juggling would be great.
Juggling would be great.
And speaking of Shireen, Dan Foley was a juggler.
Yeah. I hear it's harder than it looks.
It's not the zombie juggler. Odd part. It's not looking at your hands when you zombie juggle.
But with these cutting the arms off, I mean, didn't Michonne, when she was like with Andrea, that she was cutting the arms off of guys, but you have to cut the mouth off too to like have them be some sort of like repellent?
Right. It's arms and mouth. Arms and mouth is what you're cutting off. Don't cut off the legs, because you want to keep these things on leashes so that they can be walked around. What are you just going to like drag the torsos around? That's probably not as good zombie repellent.
No, not as good.
So you think that there's nothing to this? You think that there's nothing calculated about this? You don't think that Big Bad Wolf Blitzer is saying, bring me the torsos, cut off the legs and the arms. I don't like those parts.
I don't know what you would be doing with spare zombie parts. It doesn't make any sense. So I think that they're just sort of like sadistic, crazy people. And I think that this is just the show's way of showing us these things, that they're not just like killing the walkers, but they're sort of like mutilating them. And we saw them like people, like they're not just killing people. They're like laughing and like killing people a million times. It's not like a surgical strike where they're just coming in, just sort of killing people and moving on to the next person. You saw people like laughing with like glee as they're like murdering people.
Right. Yeah. So you think it was just like a crazy ritualistic thing?
I don't even know if there's a ritual. I just think that they are sadistic people that
sort of... Is it possible that that guy who was cutting off the limbs, like, that's the only one who does it, and he's just, like, known in the wolves as the guy who cuts off all the limbs? It's like, don't go near that guy. He's crazy.
Yeah, he's the craziest guy.
Yeah, he's the craziest wolf.
That's entirely possible.
Blitzer notwithstanding.
I don't know if there's gonna... We're gonna find out, like, oh, this is the reason why they're cutting off the arms.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see. All right, let's move on. We said we would talk about Carol a little bit. Let's talk about Carol. This is from Jennifer Agrasso, who said, Carol should be voted leader of Alexandria or at least Secretary of Defense. What do you think? Should Carol's stock go high through the roof based on her performance in JSS?
Yes, I think so. I mean, I don't know if we need to be so formal. I feel like that there is very little of the Alexandria politics that we have to worry about at this point. It's basically like Rick's group plus Deanna and Aaron and Jesse. I think that's pretty much it. And then I guess Denise and the woman that was left hiding in the closet. Is there anybody still left from Alexandria?
Red shirts. Anyone who is out there with Rick.
Yeah. So... I mean, there's probably at this point less than 10 citizens of Alexandria left.
You really think it's that big of a that it was that big of a of an assault that we really killed that many people?
I'd have to go back and take a look, but I don't think that there were very many people. There's also Deanna's son. I mean, right. There'll probably still be a few background extras, but for all intents and purposes, in terms of characters that we need to know, I feel like the number is less than 10.
Yeah, I mean, we never really had a great grasp on the population of Alexandria to begin with, at least not to my recollection of how many people were there. And we don't have a great grasp right now on how many people were killed. I would be very curious to know what the numbers are now. What's the population of Alexandria at this point? I think that the need to have all of Rick's people basically split up into two houses spoke to the fact that it was a very populous place. Maybe those guys can spread out a little bit now. Maybe everyone gets a house at this point after that raid.
All right. Tell me, just sort of ballpark, how many people were in Alexandria at the start of season 6 and how many citizens are left?
Ballpark? I don't know. Is hundreds crazy? Is it crazy to say that there was like 200 people in Alexandria?
I feel like that's a little crazy. I feel like that's a little high.
It's high?
Yeah. I feel like maybe it was closer to like 80 to 100.
Uh-huh.
And I feel
I would
like
say like somewhere in the 1 to 2.
Yeah. And how many people died in the attack?
Lots. A lot of people.
How many? 20? Did 20 people die?
Let's call it 30. Let's
30 people.
Cool, 30. Yeah.
Yeah. We'd have to go ahead.
I'm sure we'll get the casualty report.
Get the report. I think a lot of people were probably out with Rick. And then again, you know, you had people like that Carter from last week that died on the attack. I'm not sure if anybody else from Alexandria died in the first episode. We'd have to go back and look at that.
No, it was pretty casualty free. It was really just
so far.
Space. Yeah, so far. But JSS really changed things up. So yeah, we'll have to see what the numbers are. You know, talking about the politics of Alexandria, we don't really have a question about Deanna to field. But since you brought her up, where's Deanna going in all of this? You know, she removes herself from the Situation Room. She says, "I don't need to go back in Alexandria. I should stay out here in the truck. I shouldn't get involved. I'm just going to be a liability." If you're saying that there's really no one to govern anymore, what's the next step for Deanna? What goes on with her?
Yeah, she doesn't really have a skill set.
Good talker.
Yeah. I think that she could be like sort of a pretty good like counsel for Rick if it is going to turn back into a Rictatorship. I think she could be sort of like the...
New Herschel?
No, I was going to say that she could sort of be like, if this was going to be like Game of Thrones, this is a very, very minor Game of Thrones spoiler, but I feel like that she could be like a Ser Barristan to Daenerys with Rick, just sort of like the person who's like, Rick, if I could make a suggestion here.
Well, then who's the Jorah Mormont that's going to get really jealous of Barristan moving in?
Jesse.
Oh, she's not going to like that. Not going to like that at all.
Yeah.
Not going to be a fan of that.
Deanna, if I wanted your opinion, I'd ask for it.
Uh-huh, yeah. Good.
I like pissed at her.
Yeah, I do wonder what Deanna's place in all of this is, you know?
And then she could, like, back channel with Morgan, like, this is not the way I would run things around here.
Yeah. Yeah, she could be going between both sides.
Yeah.
That's cool. I like that. But you think that Carol, people are going to love what Carol did here. You don't think that people are going to be freaked out that the woman who is baking all the cookies and the spring cleaning casseroles, that she is also secretly the most highly trained assassin in the mix.
I mean, what's there to be freaked out about? I mean,
she's a highly trained assassin that like stabbed one of her neighbors in the brain.
But nobody knows that.
I guess, except for, what was her face in the closet? Olivia.
Olivia knows that, but she didn't know that she stabbed the other lady.
And Sam in the closet knows as well.
Yeah, I guess he does know. But I think that at the point where the wolves have, you know, come through the walls, it's not like you went back to normal life at Alexandria, or you ever can. So right. It's not like, well, we shouldn't have Carol at the PTA meetings anymore. She's an assassin.
Yeah.
You know, everything's different now. So it's like, okay, thank God Carol's an assassin. She just saved the day.
You'd think that's like a pretty mundane job title these days.
What, of being an assassin?
The town assassin.
I think you are happy she is here, and you're happy she's on your team.
Yeah, I think so too. Tim Forbes wrote in and said, are you sad that Miss Niedermeyer never got her pasta maker? That was Shelley. Shelley, who is the smoker, who got axed in the face.
Boy, that smoking was a real red herring. It was a real red herring.
Yeah, you really thought that's what was going to kill her, right?
Like, oh man, I really hope this woman can kick the cigarette habit. I don't want her to get, have any sort of health problems, emphysema down the line or anything like that. Yeah. The doctor isn't around anymore.
Well, Denise is there, but I don't know if she's equipped for it.
Yeah.
She could maybe like therapize her away from cigarette smoking.
Yeah, and then, so Carol's like looking out the window and she sees her smoking and like, oh boy. And Carol is going to give her a lecture now.
I know, but she was telling Shelley not to smoke inside the house. So she was smoking outside the house. So Carol at first is probably thinking to herself like, yeah, it's right. You don't smoke in the house anymore. You listen to me. You do what I tell you to do. And then she gets axed in the face and I think that her thought process changes.
Do you think that Carol is going to start smoking now?
Well, no, she had the opportunity. She was at, she had the pack of cigarettes. She was thinking about doing it. And then she sees the little A on the little bloody A that was marked on the railing, and she decided to focus on that instead of smoking the cigarette. So I think she had her chance.
What did the A mean?
I think it was it. I mean, we've seen people in Alexandria.
Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, exactly. SOA. We've seen people in Alexandria. They had the A that was like stamped onto their hands when they were first coming in, and that was what. What one of Jesse's kids was writing on Rick's hand at the cocktail party. We also know A is the A train from season 4 and season 5 in Terminus. So the letter A has always been a big deal symbolically on the show, at the very least. What did it mean specifically? Maybe it meant armory. Maybe it meant these are people to target. Maybe these are the people that the wolves should be coming after. Maybe we should be going after someone like Carol. I don't know. Hopefully it'll manifest soon. Carol seemed to have an idea of what that meant. She looked at that. And there's a look on her face that kind of just washes over her face. It's like, oh, that's bad shit. That's not great. That's not great. I'm going to have to tell Rick about that. So she knows. If you and I don't know, she's more locked in. This is a question from Andiamo, who says, I'm wondering what anyone thought of the final scene. Carol and Morgan meet at a crossroads. Carol continues moving forward while Morgan turns left, changing directions and heading into the distance, the direction where Carol came from. This leaves the two heading in opposite directions. A lot has been said about the perspectives of Rick and Morgan, but this episode really set up Morgan and Carol as polar opposites. So do we think that this episode we were talking about, are people shipping Morgan and Carol? You and I were not necessarily shipping Morgan and Carol, but did this episode drive the wedge between them even further in a dangerous way?
Yeah, I think that they have some things that they have in common, but I do feel like they have a very different worldview. And we talked about this after the first episode, I think last week on the feedback show, where it's like Rick and Carol have the same worldview. Morgan has a different worldview. At any point, will Morgan see the world as Rick and Carol does?
Right.
Or do?
Yeah, and I think we can honestly pivot from this into a voicemail from Jonathan from Orlando, who has a question about Morgan that's going to tie into what we're talking about right here.
Hey guys, this is Jonathan from Orlando. When Josh said the other night that it's possible that Morgan spared Wolf Douche's life, it kind of reminded me of when Tyrese spared Cabin Douche's life last season, which of course ended up biting Bob in the butt. Well, actually the leg, but you catch my drift. Do you guys see parallels in Morgan and Tyrese's characters, and do you think Morgan would end up regretting his decision of sparing Wolf Douche's life if that is in fact what happened? Thanks for taking my call. Bye.
And I think that this is an interesting point to bring up here, because what we've seen on The Walking Dead before, and with Tyrese as a really great example, is the people who won't buy that the world is the way that it is. You know, the people that are like, we don't have to kill everybody. Tyrese is saying, we don't have to wipe out the hospital in order to get Beth. We can negotiate. We don't have to do this. We don't have to do this. I don't have to kill the cabin douche. He doesn't have to die. And then Tyrese goes ahead and dies a couple episodes later. Those people don't tend to make it. If Morgan can't, and this is kind of my redirect of the question, if Morgan can't come to the side of Rick and Carol, if he can't get on board with their way of doing things, which has proven effective on The Walking Dead so far, is Morgan toast? Is Morgan The Walking Dead? Is he a dead man walking?
But Morgan can protect himself.
So could Tyrese. Mm. He didn't love it, but he remember that time when he was surrounded by zombies and he just hammered his way out of the thing?
Yeah, that's true. But then he was sort of like getting a little messed up, right? At the point where he died. Why? Because he was distracted?
I mean, he just got bit. It sucked.
It just snuck up on him. There was no fatal character flaw with why Tyrese died.
Yeah, he basically died because he wasn't as fast as Noah with a broken foot, you know, and Noah with a broken foot led Tyrese into his house, and in his house, one of Noah's little brothers bit Tyrese. That's basically what it came down to.
I think that Morgan is going to be fine no matter what. I mean, what his worldview might do is get him sort of exiled from Alexandria if it is going to be under the dictatorship.
Spinoff show, that'd be good.
Yeah, I think that he could probably get the Carol treatment from season 4.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I don't think that Morgan is going to die necessarily because of his worldview of always letting people go. Like, I just feel like that he's able to protect himself, but I think that his worldview is going to put him into some conflict with Rick.
Yeah. Do you think that he's going to come around to Rick and Carol's point of view? Do you think that that's where he's going?
It's an interesting question for this show, because do we just see, like, I mean, this show could go on another 10 seasons. Easy.
Huge. I'm sure AMC would love that.
They would love that. Yeah. So 10 years from now, when we're doing the Walking Dead feedback hologram.
Yeah.
Are we talking about does Rick just increasingly go more and more and more over the edge?
Right.
How far can he go? I mean, does it get to the point where Rick is like the new Wolf Blitzer?
Right. Well, I feel like by the time that we're talking 10 years down the line, we're talking about, remember those seasons when Andrew Lincoln was on the show? Remember that time when we had a Rick Grimes?
It's like a CSI type thing.
Yeah, it's like a 90210 thing. Like, yeah, he's the Brandon Walsh, but Brandon Walsh didn't make it through the whole thing. He didn't go 10 seasons of 90210. Mm-hmm. I don't think Andrew Lincoln is going even 10 seasons of The Walk. That guy is bouncing. You know, he's not going
to
be there.
So the Rick character, does he just go to a certain point and then that's it? Or does that character continue to fluctuate, where does a character like Morgan sort of bring Rick back more to the center and a little bit closer to his humanity? Or does Rick just continue like sort of like the universe is always expanding? Does Rick just keep going out further and further and further until he inevitably dies?
Yeah, the thing is, we've been there with Rick before. We've seen Rick the pacifist. We've seen Rick the farmer and not the hunter. You know, we've seen him be the guy who is tending to his pigs in the middle of the courtyard. You know, we've seen that version of Rick. Are we going to go back to that? That feels like a step backward. I don't know why the show would be interested in exploring that. I think what the show could explore is taking some of what Morgan is saying here and applying that to Rick. You know, we don't have to kill everybody. To get Rick away from the, like, I don't take any chances philosophy anymore. Which, honestly, it doesn't really hold water when you realize that he just pulled off this whole heist without doing the dry run and everything like that. But that's neither here nor there. I think that Rick could get to a point where he's not so psycho crazy bloodlusty. You know, I think that we could get Rick to a point where he's a little more level-headed and rational about who he's choosing to go after, how he's punishing people. Is death just the blanket punishment for any transgression? I think we can walk him away from there, but to walk him toward, you know, all the way to Morgan's side of being a pacifist, we don't have to kill people, doesn't seem worth exploring. Seems like we've explored that already, and I feel like that would be really just walking Rick back way too far.
Could he come back just a little bit? Like, could Morgan have, like, a place in his cabinet?
Yeah, I think that that could happen. But I think Morgan's got to meet him in the middle. I think these two have to meet in the middle. I think that that's potentially where we're going. I think that Morgan is going to have to come to a point where he sees the need to kill these people. But I guess we'll have to see, you know, we'll have to see a little bit more of Morgan's backstory for why he went from being the lunatic and clear to being this total pacifist that he seems to be now that he met, and he did say the cheesemaker. So we'll have to see what his adventures with the cheesemaker.
Did you put the closed captions on?
Yeah, it's the cheesemaker.
Now, if Morgan is capable of that evolution, could Rick be capable of it too?
Of him being a total pacifist?
No, of him being a lunatic and then coming back a little bit?
I think that he's done that. And then I think he became a lunatic again. So yeah, he can, you know, he can do all of these things. He could continue being on this roller coaster ride and keep ping-ponging back and forth, but just pick a position and stick with it.
Okay.
Plus, I think that, you know, saying that what Morgan is doing is an evolution probably flies in the face of some of the Darwinism we've talked about with this show. You know, in terms of his, in terms of survivability, I don't think that Morgan's outlook is the right one. I think it's the humane one, and I'm appreciative of that, and I like that, and I'd like to think that that's the way to go. But I think that we've seen on this show, you have to have a little bit of a harder edge if you're going to survive at least what the Walking Dead writers have in mind. So, you know, I think you got to be a little harder than Morgan is right now.
Okay.
We also had a question from, again, from Andiamo, who said, this was also about the Morgan thing. Isn't Morgan's storyline with letting the wolves go twice mirroring Tyrese's storyline with Cavendish a little too closely? I feel like they can't just let that play out in the same way with the same message, even though the wolf taking Chekhov's gun on his way out of Alexandria does make it seem like that's where we're heading. I think that there's a couple of interesting things there. I think one of the interesting points is, yeah, we have seen this. You know, we talked about it through the Tyrese prism already. Is it just going to end the same way? I think that that's a reason to think that it probably won't. Or maybe it will, and then we'll just say, hey, we did this already, and we won't be very happy with the outcome. But then the other point is this Chekhov's gun that the wolf took. How are we going to see that again? Because we have to see that again, right?
It just blows my mind that the wolves could not get their hands on any guns before this. Seems like right. Every single person we ever meet on The Walking Dead has a gun.
Right.
You have this big group of people who are capable of almost anything, except they never found guns in how many years this has been.
Right, yeah. They just didn't have any. So maybe they don't like them. I don't know.
It's either that they have something against guns, they don't want to use guns, or they have to have found guns by now.
Right.
So the fact that this guy picked up a gun, like, I don't know, are the wolves plus one gun that much more dangerous than just the wolves?
No, I think that the guns are, we've seen the wolves in action without guns. They don't need them.
Yeah.
They've got Molotov cocktails aplenty and trucks that they can drive through your door.
Like, the gun is not as fun for them. I feel like that for them, they love the idea of just like mutilating a person, whereas the gun is sort of like you're more detached from a mutilation.
Right. Do we know Wolf Blitzer's position on gun control?
We'd have to go ahead and probably start watching it. We could probably tweet to him.
Yeah, we could ask him.
Yes.
Yeah. That's it. That's all I got. That's everything.
All right, Josh. Well, great stuff as usual. Looking forward to getting back into it this Sunday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern time as we discuss episode 3. What's the episode title?
The episode title, I believe it or not, is Thank You.
Thank You?
Thank You.
Thank You. Okay.
Thank You. Episode 3, season 6. Thank You.
Well, that sounds like a nice episode.
Yeah, it should be pretty good.
Yes. Yeah.
Directed by Michael Slovis, who is a very prolific television director, has directed a bunch of Breaking Bad.
Yeah. So what do you think is going to happen? Everybody's going to come home and they see what happened and Rick's going to be like, oh, Carol, thank you for saving the day.
Thank you for saving the day. No thank you, Deanna, for being so resistant to my ways. I think a lot of like thank you cards are going to be written and then let's not talk about the no thank you.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so you can subscribe to our Walking Dead podcast. Don't miss an episode of what we're talking about here on Post Show Recaps at postshowrecaps.com/TT. TWDiTunes. That's PostShowRecaps.com/TWDiTunes. Josh, what is the ultimate hashtag?
I mean, we don't really have a choice. It's got to be hashtag Big Bad Wolf Blitzer.
Big Bad Wolf Blitzer.
We don't have a choice here.
There you go. Yeah. Josh, what are you working on Post Show Recaps this week?
Oh, so much. Hopefully by the time you guys are listening to this, you've already listened to the Leftovers and Fargo podcasts from this week. If you haven't, first watch the shows and then listen to the podcast. And we also have our new American Horror Story podcast that I am co-hosting with Stephen Fishback. Very fun stuff. We're not talking about Survivor. We're talking purely American Horror Story. It was a really fun first episode. I'll be recording the second episode with him in a few hours. Very fun stuff. Looking forward to that.
Okay. And of course, you could join us on our weekly scripted TV roundup on most show recaps every week. We record those podcasts on Fridays on postshowrecaps.com. All right, Josh, that's going to do it for us. We're looking forward to hearing your comments on postshowrecaps.com. And then join us again live this Sunday night as we recap episode 3 of season 6 of The Walking Dead. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.